Hi, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and as always, we have a dynamic hour for you. And today we're going to be talking about children, but I want to give out our toll-free numbers so later on during the show, should you want to call in and chat, you're going to be able to do exactly that. Telephone number in the U.S. of A. is 877-876-5227. Also, out of Canada, the toll-free call-in number is 888-810-8322, and our direct line is 530-876-9146. For those of you who are regular listeners to the Donna Sebo Show, you know the theme is personally empowering you. And this is so very important to me because I think that there are so many difficulties that we have to deal with in life. We need to know we have options. One of the most important parts of life that we have to be very much a good custodian with is our children. And we have a very special guest this afternoon, Timothy D. Bellavia, and he is in New York. Timothy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. I became acquainted with Timothy when I was sent some information about a very special project that he does with children. But before we go into Sage, this marvelous personality that he brought to life through the written word and in another unique format, I want to tell you a little bit about Timothy. He was born in 1971 in Buffalo, New York. He teaches art in New York City. He has a Bachelor of Science degree from Roberts Wesleyan College in Rochester, New York, and an MFA from Pratt Institute in Brooklyn. He's also an alumni of the Skowhegan School of Painting and Sculpture in Skowhegan, Maine, as well as the Fashion Institute of Technology in New York City. Now, his artwork is and has been hung in museums and galleries around the country. He's also worked as an independent curator at the Lower East Side Tenement Museum. He's appeared on runways of several alternative fashion shows, and he's even danced for a pop-up star, Cyndi Lauper. So this is a man that has tremendously unique credentials and obviously loves art. Timothy, where do you think you got your love of art from?
Honestly, it wasn't genetic in terms of my, I come from a family of skilled laborers and medical and lawyers. So really it was just, I was really good at it and I got praise from my teachers in school and that's how I was interested. I always was good with my hands and so that's my teachers in school pretty much gave me that interest and love.
Now, here you've got so many areas of experience in art. Your work was in museums. What made you decide to get involved with kids? I mean, that's like a gazillion miles apart in somebody's view if they're standing on the outside looking in. Why would you shift from one genre of artistic expression, which obviously you were getting recognized for, to dealing again with children?
Honestly, I when I went to college, I got an art education degree and wanted and did pursue an art career. But I had a crisis in my life in 1996 where I was diagnosed with melanoma.
Oh dear!
And so yeah, so what happened is it didn't sideline me, but it did make me stop and think. And I knew I really wanted to do something that was important. And also, I was at the time working with kids in the Tenement Museum, as well as in the public school as a teacher, and I felt, wow, I could really marry my two, you know, loves, working with kids and art. And, of course, my skin was an issue,
mm-hmm.
So I created this being called Sage, which teaches people our skin is different, but that's the only organ, we're all the same inside, and that's how I came about to merging the two worlds. And it is a strange journey, but it's mine, and it's kind of unique.
Well, I think it's a marvelous journey, because here you are, living through this experience with melanoma and knowing all of this condition that is altering you physiologically in a very significant way, and yet you were able to take something that would have been totally devastating to many people. In fact, it could be mentally paralyzing. I've known people that have had melanoma, and yet you took it and created something out of it that is, I think, just absolutely marvelous. Now, for those of you who are tuning in, my guest is Timothy Bellavia. He's in New York. We're going to be talking about his wonderful children's materials. And if you're a teacher and you work with kids, this is something that is a must know. Why? Because it's going to empower you as a teacher to be able to work with your children in a special way. But before we go into more details about the special aspect of teaching with this wonderful character, Sage, Tim, the book We Are All the Same Inside, was that your very first publication?
It was, yes.
Yes, and I have the book right in front of me, and I love the cover on this. It shows a rocket ship with this odd little blue critter with two big black eyes looking outside of the window of this spaceship. And it's so imaginative, and I would just bet that when a child sees that for the first time, they're really excited, because it's sort of modern world, and yet it's a depiction that a child's mind will just gravitate to. How did Sage come about as a character? I know you had the melanoma, but what made him come alive for you? Were you able to bring him into this book form for children?
Really, I was, experimenting with art, and I had a lot of shows and dealing with this one particular character I created, almost like an alter ego. But then after the situation at Sloan Kettering, which I'm still a patient of, pretty much I wanted to create something. My epiphany in life was, my gosh, our skin is an organ, and I wanted to make something that was able to be creative and hands-on, but it showed people that, yeah, our skin is an organ, but it divides us and it separates us, and whether it's old and or smooth or dark or light and it's or middle tone, it divides us all, and it's very sad because it's just the outside, and we're so hung up on it as a world. And so that's how I came up with it, through that experience. And I thought, if I can make a puppet or a doll that could teach diversity and tolerance and acceptance and, celebrate our common humanity, what a great thing. So I went ahead and, got my sewing machine out and started knocking off these prototypes, and I came to one. And then I took it from there, and I thought, I need to make a book along with it. So that's kind of how I got started.
Now, what I like about Sage is he comes from outer space. This is woo-woo. This is good. I like this.
I purposely wanted him to be a being from another world, because I wanted him to be from an evolved world. And I really can't bring in religion, but I have that background, as I am an alumni of Roberts Wesleyan. So I had, I had that upbringing where, his world is evolved, where everyone is the same, their soul, their spirit is what you see. And I wanted to bring that into this book and this theme, where it showed people that it's what's inside that's important, and inside we're all the same, and we potentially we can be good and we can be not so good. But I want to focus on the good stuff, and that strips away, I think, it brings it more, it's more concrete to a child, too. It's not as abstract as prejudice and hatred is.
Oh, I think that's so needed today, in today's world. Adults need a healthy dose of it. I mean, it's just something that we are continually being bombarded with, is how vile this group is or that group is, and sadly it's perpetuated. Hate is something that has to be taught to children.
Right.
It's not something that children have. So your material, I think, just gives some wonderful perspective. And I'll just take and read a little bit out about Sage. A glowing spaceship suddenly appeared. Those who saw it had great fear. Who has come to us, Sage, a person like you and me, but with only the inside we can see. And the artwork in the book and the dolls that you have assembled as the different portrayal of characters of the different ethnic backgrounds, the different hair colors, the different costuming that we wear, and I use the term costume with purpose because every one of us has our costume we like to put on daily. And you have Sage with a sense of sadness because he can't seem to communicate with anyone, and people running away from him, and he's so sad over the whole thing. And he wanted to find a home. I mean, he was an alien from outer space, but he wants to find a home. And he finds an abandoned dump. I just love this. We knew dumps were good for something. Inside of it's an old cluttered trunk. And in there, he finds all kinds of things to create his outer skin, his outside skin. When you first introduce this to children, and I know that kids just love it because I've seen the video on your website. And by the way, we'll be giving out the website for those of you who are just tuning in, for those of you who are teachers, who are grandparents, parents that would love to have something to work with your child to teach them tolerance. This is great. Tim, when you started this, what was it like with your first class with this wonderful character, Sage?
I just read it to a colleague of mine in the public school in Queens, New York, at the time where I was at, and she just stopped, and she said, oh, my God, this is incredible. And so I read it to the kids in the dummy stage where it was, meaning it's just a book that's not published yet. It's just in the mock-up stage. And they liked it. And I thought, well, maybe it's just because I'm reading it to them and they know me from the school. But as I read it to more kids, I think the reason why the kids like it is because it's so different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the way it's illustrated. It's done in that kind of Dare Write the Lonely Doll, which was one of my favorite books as a kid. And it's from like 1959, I think. But it's a wonderful book. And the way this artist, Dare Write, pretty much made her own puppets and dolls and then put them in scenes in Brooklyn and Manhattan and photographed them in black and white. And it's just very, so I think that's what gets the kids. And then eventually the message gets through, too, because they actually have to make the doll. And there's a series of questions. And it's really interesting, some of the things that they comment, what made them feel like Sage, for example. They comment on that.
I think that is such a wonderful way to communicate. Now, on your website, there is this video that shows you interacting with the class, with the students, and you hear their comments. They absolutely get into it, and they have so much fun sharing with each other the results of this. Now, a second book came out, and it's called Sage Goes to Kindergarten. And I really think that this is so significant because it's taking the next step with your book where the kids are able to relate to their everyday environment of being in school. And what I thought was so special about this Sage Going to Kindergarten is that you were addressing the issues of ignorance and fear that adults have, and of course the kids pick up on that. And then once the adults can be calm, and then the kids can be calm, then everything works out just absolutely wonderful. It's someone being different. They are special in their own way. And when you acknowledge that, then you have all kinds of freedom. This is a very special book. Now, when did Sage, Goes to Kindergarten come out?
Just this past June. And it's a special book because published with a group of kids in third grade in school. I now have a contract in the city of New York to do projects like this exclusively with grant money, and the kids were able to illustrate the book. And so each kid is now a published illustrator. It's really cool. But I wrote the story, and pretty much I wanted Sage to go to kindergarten because of, ignorance with adults, and that the children, careful what you say, children will listen. I'm quoting Stephen Sondheim, but the musical guy. But that's kind of what I wanted to say in this book. And Sage, of course, saves the day at the end with the visit to the museum. But I think most kids, whenever I ask them, when have you ever felt like Sage in life, in their past, their nine-year past history, they always say, when they were pulled out of the classroom because they didn't know English. And I think that it's pretty much stating that they just want to belong and fit in, and being pulled out of the classroom to learn English is quite a, a paralyzing and traumatizing experience for these kids that have English as second language.
I agree with that. I think also one of the wonderful aspects of this is that you go into schools. You are happy to bring this program in the schools. And the big word is tolerance. Why was tolerance such an important word for you, Timothy?
Well, you know what? It was really stems from my work with the Tenement Museum, where it was a catalyst for tolerance, and that, you know, we need to accept people from our past and not bury, you know, people coming to a new world and immigrating and living in tenements that were kind of run down. Tolerance has become kind of a bad word now because I think the media has made it into this agenda, or almost like it's an advocacy, and that's not true. You know, advocacy is when you want to change somebody's, you know, you have an agenda. But, you know, tolerance is just really much you just saying, you know, this is how it is, and you don't have to. I think we need to respect each other regardless if we may not disagree. We may disagree or agree with life choices, but we're all special and we all deserve that common respect. And that's what tolerance means.
Also, I think understanding that the diversity is what brings the beauty to life frequently.
Right.
It is not a disadvantage or a negative to be different. It is
right.
Important we have that. If we all were clones, how dull and boring it would be. We wouldn't have anything to talk about.
Right.
Now,
and it's always interesting to talk to somebody and ask them what they're all about, and you learn something. It's great.
No question about that. Now, let's talk about the teachers for a minute, because the teachers really can enjoy being involved with this. And it's a way of communicating with the kids, the adults, especially the young ones. But the kids are actively involved in what they do, and I want to share this for those of you that are teachers, or maybe you know someone who is a teacher. This is a wonderful, wonderful package that you get. And it's called We Are All the Same Inside. There's a book, there's linen for the doll, there's scissors, markers, stickers, glue, water, brushes, paint, there's cardboard, there's newspaper, there's yarn. I mean, you've put the whole thing together. So when these kits are brought in, and you have a group of kids that you're working with, how do you use that as a tool? You have a lesson plan for the teachers, and I just think it's great. How can teachers work with this to communicate more effectively with their kids?
Well, they can just go straight to my website and just download everything for free. They can go to get the lesson plans and do it, and I, you know, their patterns are there as well. But pretty much, it's just, I actually, although some teachers have done this independently of me, I go to the schools and actually take the kids through the process. And it can be done in a day, or it can be done in a span of 5 classes.
Mm-hmm.
And I get the most amazing results. And then when I, you know, have leftover material, I always donate it or give it to teachers, and they, you know, go crazy because the kids have more time and they can add on to it. And it also inspires them to write. They can write about their puppet. And, of course, literacy is important for kids to write well as read. So it's like just kind of a nice branch to other things and avenues with learning.
Now, I want to mention that you have received some awards and honors from the Young Adult Institute in 2003. You received the Teacher Recognition Award. Also that same year, from NYU, you Learning Through an Expanded Arts Program, you got an award there. In 2001, you got the Christopher Award nomination for the Best Children's Picture Book. And then in 97, you got the Skowhegan School of Painting and Sculpture Fellowship Grant. You have really found, I would say, a passion in your life for working with children as well as adults to empower them with an understanding of tolerance. And in 2003, you did something very special. You were involved with the United Nations. Tell us about that experience.
Oh, that was my peak experience, where pretty much alongside Kathleen Kennedy Townsend and Peter Yarrow and Nile Rodgers, I am Raelio Broker. I was presenting the curriculum to an open forum at the UN, and the We Are Family Foundation, you know, I sent them some information and they loved it and had me in for an interview, and then they asked me to be part of this curriculum, and I was able to reach lots of people, and I was even able to bring two of my students from Hunter College Elementary, where I was teaching at the time.
Wow.
To show their puppets. So it was a great experience for me, but, you know, it's not about being moved by yourself. I thought it was what a neat thing I did for Jordan and Lamont Williams, who were in the workshop that they filmed through court television. So it was really, really a neat experience, and I'm hoping that those two kids cherish it like I do. So it was really great. And, just to for what it means for me is that I did this independently, so that's like a nice little reward from, it just was great.
Yes, and also, again, on the website, people can have access to seeing what Court TV did relative to the interaction and the elementary school. We are all the same inside Sage doll making with all of that. And then there was something for a high school of talking about the pyramid of hate and how, not to have that occur. Timothy, with everything that you have been involved with in these past few years in working with children, developing this wonderful character, Sage, who came from outer space and is teaching us the lesson that we're all the same inside, did you ever imagine that you would be speaking at the UN, that you would be teaching in schools? With what has evolved, where do you think you want to go next?
Well, I never thought I would ever speak in front of the UN, no question. That was not planned. I'm excited that happened, and through that I've been able to get a contract with the City of New York to do this in the public schools in all of the boroughs in New York. I'd really like to take this everywhere, any place I could, including, all the states in this country and beyond that. But I'm just one person, so, but I'm going to try my hardest to do that. And it's required a lot of work and a lot of effort on my part to produce these, materials. A lot of interns I have now that they're paid, but I would like to take this to another level. But if any teacher were to take this in the classroom, that would be like a standing ovation, because I can't be, I'm just one person, I can't. But if I can inspire, people to teach this in their classroom across the country, and who knows, that would be wonderful. And that would be a great gift for me.
Now, what about Sage? And for those of you who are listening, let me repeat the titles of his two books, and we'll be giving out his website in just a moment. The first one is We Are All the Same Inside, and the second one is Sage Goes to Kindergarten. Now, with We Are All the Same Inside, what would be the age bracket, Timothy, that you feel that this book would be most interesting to?
Probably 4 years to 8 years old, but I've done this program with junior high kids, and I'm in the City of New York, so I've had some of the toughest, biggest kids that are 14, 15 years old, 13 years old. They have done this, and I haven't gotten a complaint they were very excited about participating. So I think this could be, a program that could be in the middle school as well. I've done it with adults with teacher workshops very successfully. They all like it. And I have a classroom at the university where I teach, and I have a group of students that will be doing these in a few weeks with the course I'm teaching currently.
Now, Sage Goes to Kindergarten. Would you say that that's the same age bracket as well?
Sage Goes to Kindergarten probably would be going up to fifth grade, probably. So I would say more like 6, 7 to 11.
Mm-hmm.
That's the age bracket. It's not in rhyme. It's in prose, and that's more for a middle school level.
All right. Now, Tim, we need to give our listeners the information on how they can reach you. And by the way, the name of Tim's company is T.I.M.M.-E. Now, it's pronounced Time, I guess you could say, Company, Inc. But you need to remember that's how it is. But you can go right to his website. It's very easy to find. Just go in to wearealltheSameInside.com, and he's in New York. And he is looking for those people also that would like to carry this forward. When you think about the news we hear today and the lack of tolerance and how the perpetuation of hate and superstition and ignorance lies at the base of most human misery, this is something that can be presented to children of various ages, and the teachers will just love teaching with it because it will lower burials. barriers that otherwise are there. Do you have a favorite story, Tim? Now, by the way, the website, again, is We Are All the Same Inside. Tim, do you have a super special story that you could share with us about the way this wonderful doll that a child can create made a difference in a youngster's life?
It didn't make, there was one particular incident that happened in a school in Brooklyn, and I went to the school and did the workshop, and the kids were, it was very successful, the Saturday program, and the principal was so excited that, you know, the kids made her a couple puppets as well, a doll, and there was a birthday party. The principal contacted me and told me the story was a birthday party where a Muslim child didn't invite an African-American child to the party. And the teacher brought out the book and the puppet to the parents. And, you know, it seems like sing-song nursery rhyme, but it made a difference when that child was able to go to the birthday party. And so I just felt that was, like, the neatest thing because I wasn't even there to facilitate it, but the principal liked it, used it. And it worked for that one situation. And that's one particular incident that I think that I made a difference. Once, or that the puppet made it. So it's bigger than me. It's you know, it's not about me. It's about what it means to do this, and that made me feel like, wow, you know, it really has a life beyond me sewing them and turning them inside out and giving them to the kids. So it was cool.
Well, again, you can go to Timothy's website. You can watch the videos of him interacting with the students. You can hear the students tell their stories. You can hear about what was done at the United Nations when they presented the program on tolerance. The two books are We Are All the Same Inside. That's the first one. And then Sage Goes to Kindergarten. And Timothy put this together along with some students from the Marino P. Gentet School in New York. And it is wonderful. The kids helped to illustrate this book. So this is an interactive type of an environment. You can get the puppets if you're a teacher and work with your kids in school. And if you're a parent, this is something that you can bring into your children's lives with a message of understanding that difference, uniqueness, is not bad. It's very good. Timothy, is there anything, I know we're just about out of time, is there anything that you would like to share with my listeners before we close out our conversation for today?
Well, I'd just like to share that, you know, careful what you say as parents, as teachers, as guardians, uncles, aunts, grandparents, because the children listen and they repeat and parrot what you do and what you say and what you believe. So if there's some, you know, I think that's so important in terms of in this world that we have and that we're, the turmoil that we're in, it's real important to try to be the best person that you can be because, again, children listen and you model for them the behavior and the beliefs, and I would hope that you would want your children to be tolerant and accept everyone as who they are and what they're supposed to be.
Timothy Bellavia. Again, his website, weareallthesameinside.com. weareallthesameinside.com. Maybe you'd like to just introduce it to your kid's school. Maybe you would like to share it with a child yourself. So give Tim a contact via email through his website. But take time to go through the website because you'll really, really enjoy it. And if you're a teacher, there's so much there available for you to research that's totally free to you because this is the gift he would like to pass along in life. Tim, thank you so very much for being my guest today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, Donna. Have a good evening.
You too. This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be taking a break. Don't you go away now. We're going to be back, and hey, do I have a chocolate dessert for you. Oy, it's so good. When we come back, I'll share it with you. This is Donna Sebo. Don't go away. We're going to be back in just a moment. Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and before we go to our first caller, I want to give some information. Number one, if you'd like to call in and chat with me, all you have to do is dial this number, 877-876-5227, if you're in the U.S. If you're calling in from Canada, the telephone number to call is 888-810-8322, and then we also have a direct line of 530-876-9146. I want to mention also that this month I am making an appearance in Fairbanks and Anchorage, Alaska. So I'll be available there for private interviews, consultations. I'm also going to be in New York at the latter part of the month. And I've got an appearance at the National Publicity Summit that I am doing, but I'm also going to be available for private appointments there. So if you would like to meet with me or have interaction with me via telephone, you can do that too. Call my office at 800-872-8852. And don't forget, you can go into my website and you'll see my itinerary laid out. Go into my website, and that's at Delphi International, D-E-L-P-H-I International. com. Well, let's go to our first caller of the day. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Susie, Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Hi, Susie.
Hi.
How's the weather in Green Bay?
It's rainy and blah right now.
Oh, good. I'm glad the sun's shining where I am. Well, it's that time of the year. We're going into fall, so rain's the name of the game.
That's right.
All right, Susie, let's get down to business with you. The first thing that is coming into my mind, I'm getting a word setback, but it's in very small letters in my mind. It's not a big setback. I think the setback is happening because you need to be able to evaluate where your priorities are and how you want to deal with those priorities in a manner that's going to enable you to see results as you would like to see them. And I think this small setback is sort of a pay attention to what's going on call. It doesn't mean that your objectives or anything else are wrong, not in the least. It just means you may need to tweak things a little bit. That's all. Then what I'm looking at is you're packing up to do some traveling, and these are like short trips. They're not long trips. You're not going to be gone for weeks at a time. These are just short excursions, and I'm seeing you sort of down in the dumps this one day, and it's like, ugh, I really don't know that I want to do this. Weather's sort of blah, and I just feel sort of draggy. Go. Because what's going to happen is that you're going to find yourself in a different environment, and then you're going to be able to pull your energy up to where it really needs to be. I think that you have different nutritional needs than what you were experiencing, let's say, during the summer. So I want to encourage you to consider a couple of things. One, look at having full spectrum lighting around you as the hours are getting longer and longer with darkness. Then I would say be aware that you want to have foods that are going to give you energy, but sort of be attentive to not having too much in the way of carbohydrates. And when I say that, I'm not saying give carbohydrates up. I'm saying be selective with them because they're very relaxing to you. It's like if you had a cup of hot cocoa and a cookie, you could take a nap in 3 seconds after you had it. So it's just the effect, and with the weather change, be aware. You want to have those things like vegetables and your proteins and eat those things during the hours when you really want to stay alert. And then if you want to have something sweet and soothing, maybe make it in the evening just a small amount so that it helps to relax you. Does what I'm saying make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Good, because you have a very efficient body system. So there, you don't need a whole bunch of stuff, but a little bit goes a long way, and especially when it comes to the sweet things. And you're interesting to me because sometimes you just absolutely want every piece of chocolate in sight, and other times you could walk by for months and never want a piece. This is telling you your body chemistry is going through an adjustment. So just know that with the weather change, and with the lengthening of the darker hours of the day, be attentive to your lighting and also your patternings for eating. And I think that you, and it's not a big deal. You don't have to make a big deal out of it. Mm-hmm. You're going to find yourself being able to have more of a balance so that you're not going to be in what I call the slumpy dumps.
Okay.
What's your question for me today?
Well, I want to know if I'm going to live to be in my 90s.
Why would you even be concerned about that?
Oh, I'm just curious because my grandparents have. My great-grandma lived to be 99, and my grandma, she's 83 right now, and she looks like she's 60, and go, go, go. And I'm just wondering if I'm going to be that way, too.
Well, I would say genetics obviously is going to be working in your favor, but there's something different about you and your grandparents. The difference is you have a much higher level of stress in certain respects than they had. So if you want to have that longevity, which I think you could very easily have, you need to take better care of yourself. And you need to be aware that you want to educate yourself relative to maintaining wellness and not go with the extremes that come along. Every generation has an extreme. One generation will say, eat all the peas you can eat, you're going to be great. Another generation will say, oh, it's grapefruit and bacon that does it. And another generation will say, no, it's alfalfa and hay. So you just never know what somebody's going to come up with.
Okay.
And good common sense goes a long way.
All righty.
So just be wise here. But understand, we do live in a different world. We have a lot more toxins and other things about ourselves. So it's that level of personal responsibility and self-accountability for your own wellness. And, my dear, I think you're going to do beautifully because you're paying more attention to yourself. And I think that this is very, very important.
Okay.
Does that answer your question for
you? Yes, it does.
Good. Go for it.
All right.
And don't be afraid of developing a new career at 75 either.
Okay. Because I'll probably have to work till I'm 80.
Yes. Yes. You take care, my dear.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And be sure and tell your friends about the show.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. And if you'd like to call in and chat with me, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. The telephone number to call in to is 877-876-5227 or 888-810-8322. And that second number is for Canadians. And then a direct line we have is 530-876-9146. Now, I promised you a chocolate recipe. Oh, this is so good. Now, I know you're not going to want to fix it like right now, but I'll tell you what, if you write this recipe down, you may want to experiment with it. Why? Because not only is it beautiful to present, it is something that has got good taste to it, and people are just going to be in awe of all of the work you've gone to. And you know what? There's not many ingredients for this. So we've got a fudge sauce I'm going to be giving you information on and the cake. So let's start with the cake. And this is what you're going to need. Not very many ingredients. You only have 7. You're going to need 1/2 cup of butter, 1/2 cup of butter. You need 7 tablespoons of light brown sugar, 7 tablespoons of light brown sugar, 1 cup of self-rising flour, 1 cup of self-rising flour, 2 eggs, make sure they're at room temperature, by the way, 2 tablespoons of milk, and 1 tablespoon of light corn syrup. Now, by the way, if you have these things all set up, before you even start mixing, it's a lot easier for you. Now, let me give you the ingredients for the fudge sauce. Fudge sauce is 3 tablespoons of butter, 3 tablespoons of light brown sugar, 4 tablespoons of light corn syrup, 2 tablespoons of milk, 1 tablespoon of unsweetened cocoa. You want the good cocoa. 1 tablespoon of unsweetened cocoa. You need 1.5 ounces of dark chocolate. That's good stuff. 1.5 ounces of dark chocolate and 1/2 cup finely chopped pecans. Mm-hmm. I told you this is a pecan and chocolate fudge ring, but I'll tell you what. If you don't like pecans, get walnuts. Good stuff. Almonds, so-so with this, but you could even use those if you wanted. But let's go with the pecans. Okay, now what you need is an 8-inch ring pan. Now what we're going to do, we're going to make the fudge sauce first. What you want to do is place your butter, your 3 tablespoons of brown sugar, your 4 tablespoons of light corn syrup. You want your milk and unsweetened cocoa. You all want it all in a small pan, and you want to just heat it very gently until everything is totally combined. Then you take your 1.5 ounces of your dark chocolate, and you break it into pieces and add to the mixture and stir until it's melted, and then you stir in your chopped nuts, and you pour into the base of your 8-inch ring pan. That's right. This goes in first. Then you want to make your cake. You want to take all of the ingredients, put them into a mixing bowl, and you beat them until smooth. Now, how easy is that? Just put it in, turn on the mixer, and let it do the work. Then you want to very carefully spoon the mixture, the cake mixture, over your chocolate fudge sauce. And it's very, you want to do this so that when it bakes, it's going to come out looking like it just came out of a professional bakery. You want to have your oven preheated to 350 degrees, and you want to bake this in your preheated oven at 350 for 35 minutes or until the cake is cooked through. Spring you to the touch or use one of your test pieces just to go make sure it's all done. You want to cool it in the pan for 5 minutes. That's all you want it for, 5 minutes. And then you want to put the serving dish over the top of it and invert it. And what will happen is all of that delicious fudge sauce that you've made is just going to dribble down over the sides, creating this wonderful halo of chocolate around the outer edge and the inside. Oh, it's just going to be beautiful when you serve it. And you can serve it warm. It's absolutely delicious. So that's what it is. And I got another tip to share with you about that, but I think you've got another caller. Welcome to the telephone lines. Caller, first name or initial. Thank you for waiting. For where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Tammy from Milwaukee.
Milwaukee.
Yes.
I just had a friend move back there. And it's just going to be a Milwaukee. It's just a wonderful, wonderful place. Okay, Tammy, what I'm looking at with you. Now, by the way, I'm watching the clock. We've got about a minute before we're going to go on break. So when we go on break, I don't want you to hang up, okay?
Okay.
All right. Now, Tammy, what I'm looking at is a tremendous need to pace yourself. You've got a lot going on here, and you cannot afford to push too hard or too fast. You've got to keep the pace. Otherwise, you're going to feel like you're wanting to crash and burn about 3 weeks because so much is going on. So try to keep things in a priority that is flexible. You know, if something is really important on Tuesday, you take care of that. It needs to be shifted to Thursday. No big deal. We shift to Thursday. So this is the name of the game. This is a very intense period for you. I do think you need to have your eyes examined, by the way. I think there's something that's with the left eye that's adjusting in vision, and it's affecting the right. So don't be surprised at that. Hon, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, I'll take your question. This is Donna Siebel, and Tammy's going to be put on hold. And if you want to call in, 877-876-5227 or 888-810-8322. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Donna. I understand that we were not able to keep Tammy on the line because something was wrong with her phone. So, Tammy, if you have an opportunity to call in on a landline somewhere where we can have better reception, that would be great. That's a disadvantage sometimes with the cell phones. So if you call in, if it is on a landline, great. But sometimes on the cell phones, the connections are so bad we can't hear you, or it interferes tremendously. So give us a call, 877-876-5227 here in the U.S., or 888-810-8322, and that is for those of you in Canada. Also, I'm going to just mention quickly, I'm going to be available. I'm traveling to Alaska and New York this month, and hopefully to California next month, the month of October. So if you want to find out exactly where I'm going to be, whatever, give me a call at my office, 800-872-8852, or you can go into my website, DelphiInternational.com, where you can find out all kinds of things. Just go to my website, and you'll see my itinerary and contact information and all that kind of good stuff. Well, let me just give you a little bit of detail on the world's smallest GPS system. Ah, yes. Global positioning, well, it's been around for a long time, and I guess it took us a while as human beings to catch up with it. But there is a critter that has had it for a long, long time. What is this unique creature? It's a Saharan desert ant. That's right. And it is always seen as zigzagging across what appears to be very monotonous terrain to our eyes. However, they seem to always head home via the shortest possible route. Now, what they do, they're not unlike many other insects, the Saharan ants, they use polarized sunlight to get direction, but they haven't been able to figure out how they measure distance. I mean, these are little itsy-bitsy tiny critters. How do they do what they do? Well, there's a neurobiologist, Harold Wolf, of the University of Ulm in Germany, and he decided he was going to explore this. Don't you just love people? They're curious about so many things. He caught a bunch of ants at a feeder 30 feet away from their nest, and some of the ants' legs he extended by gluing on pig's bristles, and I've got a picture of that in front of me, while other ants' legs, and this sounds grotesque, were severed below the knee. On the return trip, the ants on the stilts overshot the nest, while those with severed legs stopped short. So he concludes that the ants count their steps via an internal pedometer that is part of their nervous system, making them the only creatures known to do so. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't always like what scientists do. However, sometimes facts are found out in the most interesting way. And these various creatures on our planet, we really need to respect them and honor them and understand that they have evolved through hundreds of millions of years, perhaps, that we're not even aware of. And we human beings, sometimes it takes us a long time to catch up with things. Not only that, but nothing ever stays still in life. Have you ever noticed that? Nature is never still. That's why the seasons are so significant. Everything is always moving. You don't see nature in truth being actually very, very quiet. Well, last September, there was a good demonstration of Mother Nature at work. The ground in part of northern Ethiopia suddenly dropped 10 feet and split apart so quickly that a gaping hole swallowed their camels and goats that were on the terrain. Over the next 3 weeks, the earth quaked 160 times, opening up a 25-foot wide crack, a third of a mile long. Now, there's a gentleman, Tim Wright, who's a geophysicist at the University of Leeds in England. He pieced together exactly how this gap got started, and this is how he explains it. As the African and Arabian tectonic plates drift apart, the crust between them weakens. And this is what's causing it, magma. More about what's going on under the ground than above the ground, although the one affects the other. Magma forming at the base of the crust periodically drips up like a lava lamp and pools in a chamber like a balloon slowly inflating. And what Wright said is that when the balloon reaches a critical pressure, it pops. And that's how we got the volcanic explosion injecting molten rock into a 35-mile-long elongated bubble just a few miles underground, and it forced a crack in the surface above. Now, as the plates continue to drift apart, the tension increases until the whole thing happens all over again. He said, eventually, we think it's going to connect to the Red Sea, and we're going to have water coming in. He said, in about a million years or so, the split should extend so far that the Horn of Africa will be cut off from the rest of the continent. And he makes a statement, this kind of process is going on all of the time. But usually, it is taking place on the ocean floor, and he said, we don't see it. We might be able to register it, but we're not seeing it. He said, this is the first time we've ever been able to use modern instruments to observe this fundamental process directly. Everything is connected. Everything is connected. And whether it is in the earth, in the sky, there's this harmonic that's constantly in place. And when we don't respect it, many times there are results we don't always anticipate. But that's part of the human experience, is learning how to grow, flow, and when we hit our heads up against brick walls, we have to say, I wonder what I got to do next. Well, my goodness, we are almost out of time, and it's been delightful. And again, if Tammy is listening, Tammy, I hope that you will call in with your question, because I'll be delighted to answer it at another time. But we are out of time right now. This is Donna Sebo. It has been a delight to be with you. And I want to, again, remind you that if you have a story, if you have a special recipe that's in your family, you know, we've got the holidays that are going to be evolving in a few months, and I would just love to hear from you. Let me know about a family tradition you have. This would just be great. And I take the material, and then I put it together where it suits the certain formats that I might have. And if you want to check up on the authors, and speaking of authors, tomorrow we are going to be talking about the 1,000 Best Dog Training Secrets. Robin Acne is going to be with us, and then we're also going to have Bob Seidensticker. We're going to be talking about future hype. Fascinating stuff. And then Jalene Corbin, medical misfits. We're going to be talking about Al Pacino next week, how 7 minutes can make a difference, how you can have peace of mind as an investor, and how you can make your dreams work in reality, dreams come true. Donna Sebo here. It's been an absolute delight being with you today. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, know you are a link in this universe. It's very, very precious and very valuable. And you can make it a strong link or a weak link. Make it a strong one. I think you're special. You need to think so, too. Donna Sebo here. We'll talk with you tomorrow. Have a fabulous day. Bye-bye.